Welcome to Compass with Heladi Michelia, finding direction for your life.
Praise, bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord. Thank God for today again. It's a joy to bring the word of God to you. It's such a joy and a great opportunity. I count it a great privilege. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. People, you cannot be ashamed to go to the hospital. The hospital is there to take care, to take care of you, to fix you when something is wrong with you in your health. You can't be afraid to go to the market. You can't be ashamed of going to the market, because that is where you find the needs of your life. I mean, you don't go to the market trying to buy a cloth or buy foodstuff, and then you're ashamed. You don't want people to see you that you're buying foodstuff. It doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And so it's a privilege to be given the responsibility to bring the power of God. I always say it, that the word of God is God's primary response to every need in your life. The word of God is God's primary response to every need in your life. He sends forth his word and it heals us. And it delivers us from all of our destructions. He sends forth the word and it heals us. And it delivers us from all of our destructions. And so it's a privilege for me to bring the word of God to us today. Amen. Today I just want to take time to teach lesson 10 of the study that we have been doing. Lesson 10 of the study that we have been doing on the life of impact, living a life of impact. We've done 9 lessons. If you have not heard any of them or you've missed any of them, please call the number at the end of this broadcast. Call the number and request, you know, call the number and request that study be given to you. And our team will make sure it gets to you. So I just want to take out the time this morning to share the 10th lesson in this study. And the tenth lesson is the heart of worship. The heart of worship. The heart of worship is surrender. Surrender is an unpopular word, disliked as much as the word submission. It implies losing, and no one wants to be a loser. When you hear the word surrender, it means you've given up your rights. Surrender evokes the unpleasant image of admitting defeat in battle, forfeiting a game, or yielding to a stronger opponent. The word is almost always used in a negative context. Captured criminals surrender to authorities. In today's competitive culture, we are taught never to give up and never give in. So you don't hear much about surrendering. If winning is everything, surrendering then is unthinkable. Of course, if all that matters is to win, then to surrender is unthinkable. We would rather talk about winning, succeeding, overcoming, and conquering than yielding, submitting, obeying, and surrendering. But surrendering to God is the heart of worship. It is the natural response to God's amazing love and mercy. We give ourselves to Him not out of fear or duty, but in love. Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. After spending, you know, 11 chapters of the book of Romans explaining God's incredible grace to us, Paul urges us to fully surrender our lives to God in worship. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. That's what Paul says. Paul says, after all the goodness that God has done for you, the only correct response that you can have is to surrender yourself to Him. You know, it's like when you're in a relationship, you know, with a lady or something, and a lot of things that we do may not be to buy somebody's love, but it may be to earn a person's love. So if you love a lady and you're good to her and you do everything to express your love to her, the natural response you expect is for her to reciprocate your love. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but that is the natural response. You're not buying her love. You are not trying to manipulate her. But the natural response that ought to come as a result of, you know, showing your love to someone is to respond to that person's love. You know, it's to respond to that person's love. True worship brings God pleasure. It happens when you give yourself completely to God. Notice the first and last words of that verse are the same. Offer. Offering yourself to God is what worship is all about. The act of personal surrender is called many things. Consecration, making Jesus your Lord, taking up your cross, dying to self, yielding to the Spirit. What matters is that you do it, not what you call it. God wants your life, all of it. 95% is not enough. There are three barriers that block our total surrender to God. Fear, pride, and confusion. We don't realize how much God loves us. We want to control our own lives and we want to understand the meaning of surrender. And we, misunderstand the meaning of surrender. The first one is fear. And is that, can I trust God? You know, you see this all the time, you know, when people are told to pay the tithe or to give for something in church. Many people often have what it takes to do that. They don't need to do any extra work or pray or anything. They already have it, or it's something that they can afford to do. But they don't, because sometimes they are afraid. If I give all that I have, can I trust God to supply for me? You know, the widow of Zarephath had this challenge. When the prophet met her and said to her, go and bring me some water, and then he called her back and said, and prepare me a piece of cake and bring it along. She said, I am picking wood right now. As you met me picking wood around, the reason why I'm picking it is I want to go and make the last flour. In fact, the Bible didn't say she was picking, we said she was picking sticks. That tells she wasn't trying to make any serious fire. She wasn't cooking anything. She wasn't making pepper soup. She was not about to roast steak or suya or anything. No, she was just going to make something simple. She said, I'm picking these sticks. I want to go and prepare the last meal for I and my son. It's our last flour that is remaining. And after we have eaten it, we will die. And I used to tell people, if she didn't obey the prophet, she would have died. She would have definitely died. And he said, bring it to me first. Bring it for me first. Say, after I have eaten, then you also will have. Trust is an essential ingredient to surrender. You won't surrender to God unless you trust him. But you can't trust him until you know him better. Fear keeps us from surrendering, but love casts out all fear. The more you realize how much God loves you, the easier surrender becomes. How do you know God loves you? He gives you many evidences. God said he loves you. You are never out of his sight. He cares about every detail of your life. He gave you the capacity to enjoy all kinds of pleasure. He has good plans for your life. He forgives you and he is lovingly patient with you. God loves you infinitely, more than you can ever imagine. The greatest expression of his love towards us is the sacrifice of his son. The second barrier to us, you know, surrendering is admitting our limitations. That's pride. The second barrier to total surrender is our pride. We don't want to admit that we are just creatures and not in charge of everything. It is the oldest temptation, you know, when Satan said to Eve, you will be like God. That desire to have complete control is the cause of so much stress in our lives. Life is a struggle, but what most people don't realize is that our struggle, like Jacob's, is really a struggle with God. We want to be God, and there's no way we are going to win that struggle. We're never going to win. God is not going to abdicate his throne for us. We want to be in control of our life. We want to determine what is going to happen. A.W. Tozer said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We are still trying to give others and interfering with God's work within us. We aren't God and never will be. We are humans. It is when we try to be God that we end up most like Satan, who desired the same thing. We accept our humanity intellectually, but not emotionally. When faced with our limitations, we react with irritation, anger, and resentment. We want to be taller or shorter, smarter, stronger, more talented, more beautiful, and wealthier. We want to have it all and do it all, and we become upset when it doesn't happen. Then when we notice that God gave others characteristics we don't have, we respond with envy, jealousy, and self-pity. That's what we do. What does it mean to surrender? Surrendering to God is not passive resignation, fatalism, or an excuse for laziness. It is not accepting the status quo. It may mean the exact opposite, sacrificing your life or suffering in order to change what needs to be changed. God often calls surrendered people to do battle on his behalf. Surrendering is not for cowards or doormats. Likewise, it does not mean giving up rational thinking. God will not waste the mind he gave you. God does not want robots to serve him. Surrendering is not repressing your personality. God wants to use your unique personality. Rather than it being diminished, surrendering enhances it. C.S. Lewis observed, "The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. Because he made us, he invented all the different people that you and I were intended to be. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give up myself to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own." Surrendering is best demonstrated in obedience. You say yes, Lord, to whatever he asks of you. To say no, Lord, is to speak a contradiction. You can't call Jesus your Lord when you refuse to obey him. After a night of failed fishing, Simon modeled surrender when Jesus told him to try again. And he said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you said so, I will let down the nets." I pray for you. I pray for you after pastoring for many years of my life. If I have anything that can be a struggle up to today, is to say, "Yes, Lord," in certain things that I feel I have the power to do, or certain things that I really, really desire to have them, is to hold back and say, "Yes, Lord." It's the greatest struggle that many of us really struggle about, is the capacity to say, "Yes, Lord." The most difficult area to surrender for many people is their money. Many have thought, "I want to live for God, but I also want to earn enough money to live comfortably and retire someday." Retirement is not the goal of a surrendered life, because it competes with God for the primary attention of our lives. Jesus said, "You cannot serve both God and money." And wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. The supreme example of self-surrender is Jesus. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus surrendered himself to God's plan. He said, "Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine." Now, I just want to say something. When we talk about surrender, it doesn't mean that you don't have what you want. But it means that you're willing to submit what you want. You're willing to allow what God wants for your life to be greater and to come to pass more than what you want. And I tell you, every one of us battles with that. Every one of us battle with that. There are many things we want in our lives, but often we surrender what we want. For me, I've had these battles, and there are seasons and times that I would even resist God until the very last minute. When God still shows it and makes it clear that this is what he wants, then I withdraw. And I accept that God's wisdom is greater than my own. A heart of worship is a heart of surrender. I pray that of almost all the Christian virtues, I believe that surrendering is the greatest. I believe that was what Jesus did on the cross. When he opened up his arms on that cross, he surrendered to the will of God. The Bible says he obeyed and died, even the death of a criminal. I want to bless the name of the Lord for his word to us today. I want to encourage you, if you've been listening to this broadcast, please call our lines. and we will send you a free copy of the Purpose Driven Life book. It will help you to go along with us in this study and to help you in your personal walk with the Lord. It's been great sharing the Word of God with you. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.